The Corian Football Club podcast is kindly sponsored by the Lodge Hotel, famous for food, functions, and fantastic value.
Hi, welcome along once again to the official Corian FC podcast. Another week, we're getting probably close to what you could describe as the business end of things in the Irish League, halfway through March, nearly getting into April, so things are starting to get very interesting indeed. Before we start, once again, big thanks to our very kind sponsors, the Corian's Lodge Hotel. And don't forget, if anybody you know or you yourself are thinking about getting hitched in the near future, then why not check out the Lodge Hotel? They have everything that you could possibly hope for. They have 30 years experience in planning and organizing weddings. Everything that, as I say, that you could hope for. My advice, give them a call or even call in, speak to some of them there, and have a look at what they can offer. So that's that taken care of. Thankfully, I am married, so I don't have to do that again anytime soon, unless my wife thinks different. But anyway, that's another story. Johnny McNabb, welcome along once again to the podcast. How's your week been?
Hi, week was fine. It was obviously the Rangers match last weekend, or last Thursday night, so... both teams probably didn't play well, but Benfica scored the goal. And fair play to them. They're three the next round. Didn't want to win it anyway. It's only a wee small competition now, you know what I mean? And I know I missed the Corian game on Saturday, which I'm sure we'll chat about. It was that Dungannon game, and then just chilled out and watched the football on Sunday and a bit of the golf. So I know, listen, as we say every week, the weeks do actually fly in. And I know it's the same message always send me on a Monday. Any thoughts for the podcast? So I seem to always get them. They always just seem to pop up so quickly. So
yeah, the weeks go around quickly. But you said about the Rangers, so obviously that was, you know, on the Thursday. Take away in one hand, but giveth in the other, and obviously Sunday turned out okay for you.
Aye, well, as everyone knows, United being my English team, so I was happy enough for that. But mental game that there, I think the listeners who are listening, if they support either team, they'll probably agree that both teams probably didn't play well, and it sort of added to the game. You know, I think if they were on full form, let's be honest, they beat United comfortably, but they gave away a few poor goals. United were a bit kamikaze. I think they ended up with like Anthony and Bruno Fernandes in the back four and stuff like that. So no, just made for an absolute, and if there's a way to win the game, it's to do that. And yeah, just unfortunately Man City are still left on it. But sure, if you to win these competitions, you always just have to beat the best teams anyway, and that's just how it goes.
Indeed it is. I have to admit, I didn't see much of it. I was watching the real big game on Sunday, obviously Leeds at home to Millwall, so that was much more important. Just for your information, Jonathan, yes, Leeds are top of the championship.
Yes, I did send you a message congratulating you. So Leeds are a good run of form, obviously, at Hulls with Leicester not playing, and listen, you'd rather have points on the board than games in hand. So, no, I can see a smile on your face. So, that's, you know, when Leeds when you're
well, home. We shall see. 8 games ago, long way to go, a lot of points still there. So, we shall see. We shall see what happens. But anyway, as you say, it's better to have the points in the bag as opposed to games in hand, I always think. So, listen, Saturday passed. You weren't actually at the Corian game. You were, I think, Glentoran and Dungannon. You must be down there chasing a wee scoop, were you?
It was just one of the things, obviously, with what happened with the Glens this week. And I think there have been whispers maybe there could have been an appointment sought. And yes, newsletter pay my bills. So that was the story of the weekend and when I went down. So, I thought the Glens were very good. They probably just didn't have to give you a second or third gear, to be perfectly honest. And he scored a few good goals, and obviously Dengue Devine was there watching on too. So I think you have to give the Glens a bit of a credit to you. I think after the week they had, it'd been very easy for the players to have felt sorry for themselves, but they went there and got the job done and got a good 3 points for them.
Were you surprised at all the way things happened turned out with Warren Feeney, like 9 months into the job? Were you surprised, or was there a certain inevitability, Johnny?
I think there was inevitability in it, and I think everyone would have probably said that, and I think with Warren obviously playing for Linfield and or managing Linfield, sorry, I think he did play for them as well. It's just one of the things that he was always on the high and nothing when he went there, and I think they had an inconsistent run of results. So, but listen, when you know Warren Feeney, he'll bounce back. I'm sure he's hurting, but at the same time, the same guy will have confidence in himself to bounce back. And it's never nice, obviously, seeing people lose their jobs, but one man's loss is another man's gain, and Dege Devine, was a big, he could come in and guide Glens to the Irish Cup in Europe in 8 games. And obviously, the Glens' fortunes of the whole season have just absolutely transformed. So no, I wasn't shocked at all. And I think the writing had probably been on the wall for a while.
Yeah, just when you said about the fans possibly not taking to him because of his Linfield connections, and it just made me think. I mean, if Corrine were in a similar scenario, I mean, if who would be the Warren Feeney equivalent coming to manage Corrine, do you think? Jim
Jeez.
Irvine or David Jeffrey or somebody like that?
To be fair, I think that derby obviously eclipses ours and turns. And yeah, it's probably someone like that. And we got Spike who managed Ballymena as well, and other guys like that. So, listen, I just think he was up. I think just think Warren Feeney was up against it from the very start, and I just don't know, what really changes. I think there it's the same people in the background. And I was actually chatting to Darren Murphy before the match on Saturday. He was there for Sports Sound, and he was telling me that Glentoran have had 18 managers in 15 years. I would need to check that, but I wouldn't be could wouldn't
No.
probably be far wrong. So, and he says it always can't be the player's fault. So, or the manager's fault. Sorry. So,
No, can't always be the manager, yeah.
a
I
lot
think
of
I think as you alluded to, there's maybe deeper problems at the old.
yeah, probably is. But at the end of the day, that's for the Glens, obviously, to worry about. But at the same time, too, look, they had a great crowd there Saturday as well, and they played well, and there's a good chance for them to qualify for Europe.
What about Dungannon? Because obviously they're the visitors to Corrine on Saturday. What were they like?
They weren't great, and I think I'm being very nice when I say that, because Rodney McGree was probably more skilled than all of them. He says that, it looked like a training, end of season training game, where his players, the body language was awful. That was his exact phrase. So, they weren't great. And they didn't really lay a glove on the Glens either, to be honest. I think they've lost now their last two games, Dungannon, after beating Cliftonville at home. So I think Rodney was maybe left wondering where this sort of performances have came from. So they're probably in a weird situation where they're not going to get caught between Ballymena and Newry. Are they going to catch seventh? It could be probably difficult enough for them. So they're probably it's not I'm saying their season's over, but they probably just don't have an awful lot they play for.
Would there be a worry with one eye looking to what's coming up this weekend? Would there be a worry that you could expect a Dungannon response? As you say, they weren't good on Saturday, they lost the game. Previous to that, Rodney will be expecting and demanding a response, and that probably doesn't bode well for Corrie.
Yeah, I say it all the time, whether it's Corrine or one of the other teams, that I hate playing a team that's just been beat heavily, or because obviously you're expecting a reaction from the opposition. So we haven't beat Dungannon this season in the league. Drew up there and they beat us at the show ground. So we've probably got our own agenda from that accord to try and beat them for the first time this season. So listen, people chat about X, Y, and Z, but as soon as the players cross the white line, all that probably goes out the window. So we have our own agenda in terms of we know we'll win. This is in the top six, and that's what we have to go for.
Yeah, a win guarantees a top six finish. This is obviously the last game pre-split. So a home victory on Saturday against Dungannon secures the top six. There is a possibility that a draw on Saturday may still suffice. Carrick Rangers probably, I think, are the only team that can pip Corrie into sixth place. They would need a win against Linfield and obviously a big swing in goal difference. But interestingly, that game, that Carrick Rangers game against Linfield, obviously was to be played this weekend as well. But that has been postponed because two of the Linfield players have been called up to the Northern Ireland squad. And that's, I suppose, messed things up a little bit, hasn't it, Johnny?
Yeah, so that game and there's a Cluffin Villarn are now being played on Easter Tuesday. So I don't think our friends from Carrick were too pleased that the two games aren't kicking off at the same time. But why should Corey be punished for having a home game on a Saturday at 3 o'clock with probably a bigger crowd than maybe playing on Easter Tuesday against Dungannon? So I guess it's not an ideal situation. And maybe foresight from the league. Maybe they could have seen that was an international window and thinking, Craig, that's the last game before the league splits. So, yeah, look, not ideal. I do understand it, to be honest, in a way, but at the same time, well, why should Corian have to have their game changed? In my opinion, it's not Corian's fault, not Linfield's fault, not Carrick's fault.
No.
It's just how it is. It's two or three lads from Linfield have been called in the under-21 squad. Linfield's squad, stressed as it is, you know, they're going for the league. They want all the players available. So
absolutely.
It's just
and a couple of them are big players. I think Ethan McGee and one of the others. I can't remember who it was, but
Chris McKee, I think it was.
Ethan McGee and Chris McKee, like, you know, two very important players for Linfield, and you certainly don't want to be losing them against a team like Carrick, where you do need your 3 points. Linfield obviously still in contention for the league title, so they're quite within their rights to ask for the postponement to get it. And as you said, it's not Corian's fault. I mean, Corian should be allowed to play on the Saturday as originally thing. And I suppose the situation's pretty clear. If Corian get the win on Saturday, Carrick's game against Linfield is pretty academic, really, in terms of the split, isn't it?
Yeah, it's academic. Yeah, it is. And at the same time, too, Carrick will probably want to cement seventh then as well. So from that point of view, obviously, Glenavon, I don't think, are too far behind, and you've logged all there too. So probably going to be a shootout for that last playoff. And then obviously it all comes down to the Irish Cup too and who's in the final and who plays who and stuff like that. So, it's probably not easy for Corey anyway, but Corey know what they have to do and that's win a game of football. And if they do that, well then they've got all the big teams and the other so-called bigger teams in the post for that games.
Yeah, I mean, I spoke to Oren after the win at Crusaders, and then I had asked him about Dungannon, and his answer was along the lines of, I've never sent the team out yet, you know, not to try to win a game, you know, because obviously there is this scenario that maybe a draw would suffice. But like, I think his attitude, and no doubt the player's attitude, is like, it's a game, you go out to win it, you get the 3 points, and that takes care of everything, and you don't have to worry about anything else. So it's quite straightforward.
Yeah, look, it's a home game and we're in good form, so why not get that continue? And I think we've all went into these, you know, European games with very little momentum or very little good form, to be honest. Let's try and maybe buck that trend and see how we get on at the other side of it. So, look, we're away to Linfield and away to Larne. If we finish in the top six, I think it is, and home to the other three teams, I'm nearly certain that's what it would be.
Right, I didn't know that. So you think it's away to Linfield and Larne?
Yeah, because we've had them twice at the showgrounds in the league. We've been away to Cluffinville twice, and the Glens twice, and Crusaders twice. So I think that's
all right.
So
and you wouldn't know at this stage who or what dates those games are either.
The dates have been sort of, but
yeah, but who you playing those particular dates now?
They changed it all last year, I think. Remember they changed it, so God only knows what it's going to be. So. Yeah, I think the first split games or the weekend is April the 6th and 7th. I'm nearly sort of the 6th of April. That's a Friday and a Saturday. So, it'll be weird not seeing a game on Easter Tuesday. That'd be a strange thing. I know Linfield, that's the rearranged games are played that night, but it'd be very strange going to an Irish League game or not going to an Irish League game on Easter Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm sure probably the league organisers are maybe not happy about that either, because Easter Tuesday would traditionally be quite a big day for Irish League games, you know, so they're missing out on that, aren't they?
Yes, obviously you'd be about families or last day of their holidays and stuff like that. So no, yeah, it's definitely a strange one, but look, at the end of the day, it is what it is, and we just have to wait a few days later and for the Dungannon game.
But it was interesting what you said about in previous years, Korea as a team going into those final split post split games and then into the Euro playoffs. And it's been the case over the last couple of years that they've been going into that latter part of the season in not great form. And Orn referenced that in his post-match interviews on Saturday and said that in previous years, Korea have started the season well and then perhaps by the end of the season have played a lot of games and have run out a bit of steam. But he said on Saturday, the likes of Stevie O'Donnell hasn't played an awful lot of football. Stephen Lowry, Chevy, Jamie McGonigal. I think he believes that could work now in Korean's favour coming into the latter part of the season, whereas other teams may be suffering from a lot of games. His players, a lot of them, are just starting to come into their peak, possibly at the right time of the season.
I hope so. I really hope so. And I think as well, I think maybe losing the cup final in the last 2 years as well has maybe played a slight part of the league cup final. I think it's just sort of drained everybody when we've got beat. So, yeah, we obviously didn't have that this year. So, look, I mentioned it as well on the podcast a few weeks ago. With the way the club's going, players' futures aren't guaranteed either. Let's be honest. So, or Orange, I suppose, as well. He's out of contract, I think, at the end of the season. So, players and everyone involved have a lot to play for. And, in terms of their time at Korean. So that's gonna be interesting. But yeah, that's what we all love it for. And yeah, but just it would be nice definitely having a wee bit of form and behind us going into them games and who knows, we could have a big say in where the league ends up as well.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, like, you weren't there on Saturday at CBU, I was. And Korean, again, looked very, very solid, very good workmanlike performance. Restricted Crusaders quite a bit. Very little between it. What was interesting was that up there is not an easy place to go, and Crusaders, to be fair, threw everything at Korean, were very, very physical, etc. And Korean stood up to it and gave as good as they got back and made it. That's like four games unbeaten now. And I think they can take a lot of confidence from Saturday's game so far as that they went toe-to-toe with Crusaders in their backyard, stood up to the physical battle side of things and came away with a point and very, very nearly came away with all three with Jamie's chance right at the end. But that was very encouraging, Johnny, and that's four unbeaten now. I mean, getting those players back, Oren had always said that, judge me when I get my players back. And I think, to be fair, when the players have come back, you can see the fruits of that.
Yeah, there are too many times we've rolled over and had our bellies tickled. And I suppose whenever Lyndon gets sent off with 20 minutes to go, I think if that's maybe 3 or 4 months ago, we probably don't get them from that game. So, yeah, there was no bigger cheer than for a Korean goal. There wasn't Dungannon on Saturday, and you can ask Stevie Crawford, he was with me as well down to Stangmore Park. So, Taylor's two penalties. I watched the highlights back, and I think as well. I think Roy Brown made a couple of good saves too, and yeah. It would seem to be a really good ding dong battle between the two teams. They always have been, whenever we're going for the league, from cup finals and stuff like that, and where we are now, they always seem to have two teams who really respect each other and go for it. It's a wee bit like near like an unofficial derby, it really seems to be like. So, it was good. Good to get something from it. And as you say, it keeps the momentum going for the weeks ahead.
What was notable as well was when it did get tough and when Lyndon did get sent off and was in the closing stages and the game was in the melting pot, it was really noticeable that the away fans, and there was a good number of them there, all stood up to a man. And like if you like love Koreans, you know, stand up for Korean, well, the bandsiders, I should say, and the whole place stood up. And it was really noticeable. And you could argue, Johnny, that that sort of connection hasn't been there all the time this season between the players and the fans, but you could almost see that reconnection on Saturday with the away fans because they could see the players on the pitch giving everything, and there was that reconnection, and that is very hard then to see.
Yeah, that is, and I don't. Yes, and from a side of that, I remember speaking. I think you were there at the time when we were speaking to the new owners, and I said to them, obviously, look, you're only in here, but I think one of your biggest tasks should be trying to get the fan base back with the club, and not back, but try and just bring it even closer, probably. Because whenever it is good, it's really, really good. And I know it's very easy to say when the team's going well, and obviously the atmosphere's going well, that's, you know, it's called a spade, but at times, you know, you really, really need to get behind the team as well. So that's really, really heartening to see. I wasn't there on Saturday, but I'm sure the player dug in, they fought for each other, they weren't bullied, and they were getting stuck in themselves. They were more in a match for Crusaders. Obviously going down to 10 men, bit of a siege mentality as well. The country boys up in Belfast. So, you know, if you factor all that in, it's really, really sort of good to see the crowd appreciating the efforts. And yeah, look, I think it won't be the first to admit it. Maybe the fans just haven't had the most enjoyable of seasons. So to see them being rewarded with the team giving them their all is, you know, it's obviously, look, it's the bare minimum, players giving the effort, but I think they leave there with a result as well. Because Crusaders are in a good form, wrong form as well.
Mm-hmm.
They're unbeaten. Right.
I think that's five unbeaten they are now.
So, brilliant result.
Yeah, I mean, it was quite heartening to see. And I suppose when the game was really sort of coming down the final stretch, to hear, you know, if you were a Korean player and you heard your fans singing that just gives it a little bit extra. So, you know, it's good from that point of view, and it bodes well going into those last five or six games. Hopefully it's against the likes of the Lawrence, the Linfields and the Cliffordvilles, and Korean can continue playing well, and it'll give the fans even more to cheer about. We'll just stay at the Crusaders game. Stephen Baxter, obviously we knew, was leaving Johnny, and then last week announced that he was going to get replaced by former player Declan Cadell. And I did ask Stephen Baxter after the game, but I got a very short answer. He just said, not talking about it now. We talked about in due course, blah, blah, blah. Very, very straight back. I had to ask. Okay, I got shot down, but I still had to ask the question, fair enough. But in terms of the appointment, Johnny, what do you think? Is that a good appointment? I don't know. Well, we can't say because it's too early, but can you see the way Crusaders are thinking in the appointment of Declan Cadell?
I think, yeah, I listened back to your interview, and it was the last question, and I was expecting, and I only seen there was about 12 seconds of audio left, so I knew there was no comment, so... Look, I think it's probably one of them ones where the crews have decided keep everyone in house until the end of the season, or end of season do, and then hand it over. They probably, I'd imagine, Baxter's last home game, there'll be a big hurrah and things like that. So I can understand it. The crews of Europe still they play for, and
yeah,
and everyone else. But I get you had to ask the question as well. So I'm sure he'll probably be asked it every single match now as well. So
he will be.
God love the next reporter.
But I had already spoke to Michael Long previously, and Michael is like the media officer at Crusaders, and I did say to Michael, and Michael did forewarn me. He says he'll not say anything. He says Stephen Baxter's attitude is there's still work to be done this season, which is what exactly you were saying as well. And he doesn't want any distractions, and that's why he didn't mention and he didn't say anything. And I get it, because if he did say anything, it becomes then a distraction, it becomes a different story, doesn't it? Just shit it down, you know what I mean, and give yourself a cushion, so to speak.
In terms of the Declan Cadell appointment, yeah, look, I think he's been maybe sort of not coerced in there, but I think they've helped him, and I think they helped him through his badges and things, and he was high up in their academy as well. So, look, he's a former player. He's won everyone with him. He knows what it's about. And he even looked from a wider spectrum as well. He was available. You know, there's not very many managers that stick out to you. And so, no, I think it's a very interesting appointment. He was a character and he was on the pitch. So it'll definitely, I'm sure, be a character off it. And look, it's a big job. Crusaders are a big club. My only worry would be maybe that they might need a rebuild there. I think they've maybe three or four elder statesmen, so we'll see how I'll word it. So they might need a wee bit of a rebuild there. So but listen, Dega Cadell is a fan's favourite at Seaview, and I'd imagine they'll be given time they do that. And as big shoes they fill, it's absolutely massive. And
That's a tough.
and you see, I say this to everybody I speak to, I think Stephen Baxter should have a statue outside Seaview for what he's done. Honestly, it's amazing. From where he took them to what they've won. They've All Ireland champions for flip side, never mind winning the league.
It's
Never
pretty
announced
impressive. Pretty impressive, isn't it?
in European games, and yeah, and even how Seaview looks and the pitch and everyone else. So no, big shoes they fill, and be very interesting to see if Stephen Baxter ever becomes back in the Irish League football. I wouldn't shock me if he didn't. I think his legacy.
There's a job going in the east of the city, isn't there?
Well, there is. But nah, I can't see Stephen for that one. But so football is a strange old game, and yeah, who knows? Decade of mine, as I said earlier, I started a podcast, go in for 6-7 games and get Europe and win a cup. That's not a bad way to. Not a bad way to start.
They would have to give him the job then, almost, wouldn't they?
But the other day, too, would he want it for? It's just it's he's only come out of he's only finished really there with Bohemians, what, maybe a month or two ago. He left there, so I never realised he actually played for the Glens too until I read about it, and he was a goalkeeper. Didn't even know that either. So there you go. He played for the Glens when I was 2 years old. So
Well, there you go. You've a
I'll
good
make
excuse
him.
then.
I'll make him feel old. So, nah, listen. Yes, yeah, an end of the year, obviously, the cruise at the end of the season, and I can see why Stephen Baxter just wants the whole concentration in football. And if he can be out by getting cruise European football again, well, he'll be delighted.
Tough act to follow. Deggy Cadell, he's got his hands full there, like as you say, possible rebuild at the club. They've been used to success. It's a difficult one. You say the club will give them time, and yes, hopefully they will. But we know football, it's a results business, and there's very little sentiment left in football, and if it doesn't start well, who knows? But anyway, that's neither here nor there. It's got nothing really to do with us, I suppose. Looking back, Saturday, decent game. Good to see Josh back. Scored a penalty, took it very well. He's back with penalties, maybe by the looks of things. Jamie had a good chance to win it at the end, and of course that was without Jamie Glack, and he was suspended on Saturday. And he will most likely come back into the running for Saturday. The way Corian are playing at the moment, you would expect them probably just to be a bit too much for Dungannon this weekend, Johnny.
Hopefully, but again, we haven't beat them yet this season. So,
That's hard to believe, too, isn't it?
but I suppose we're in a good run of form, as you say. We've got a lot of boys back. Josh back's first bit of bite in the middle of the park, and Glack's obviously coming back from suspension as well. So, obviously, Lyndon will be suspended. So we
That's right.
might push Jack Scott the right back if he's fit,
Oh, yeah.
and bring
Glad
Glack in. So,
person.
yeah, so.
Well, that would solve a problem for Rowan, because if he had the full 11 from Saturday and then Glack's coming back, it'd be very hard to drop somebody out of that, wouldn't
It would, but as one person's loss, and that's Lyndon's obviously being red carded,
it?
is not everyone's gain. So, in terms of Glax coming back, or it could play Lee Lynch or Aaron Jarvis or guys like that. So, look, he's got plenty of
Options.
options there. So, a few months ago we were struggling to get 11 players out there. So, it's always good they have options.
Very good, very good. Just see there this evening, we are recording this on Tuesday evening. Just announcement or news kind of breaking, or confirmation probably of news that we sort of brought to you before, regarding Simon McGee, Johnny, in the sort of boardroom level of Korean Football Club.
Yeah, Simon's been announced as the Chief Executive Officer, so the new CEO of Corian. So, yeah, look, Simon's been involved with Corian, I think it's 7 years, and Everyone knows he's a big Korean fan, so he'll relish that opportunity. So yeah, and he was big involved obviously with the two guys that with new owners. So yeah, big position. But I'm sure he'll give it all the blood, sweat and tears. So good luck to him.
Aye, big job too, like, isn't it? Because you're on the threshold of like going full time, and none of us really knows what exactly that involves. But you can imagine it's a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of money. It's going to take a lot of planning. It's a tough one, isn't it? But I mean, I guess it's somebody like Simon's background. That's what he's looking forward to doing.
Yeah, obviously that's what he wants to do. So maybe a few sleepless nights for him now and getting stuff planning and guys like that. So to be fair to Simon, I follow him on LinkedIn. So I'm sure he'll be listening to this. I know he's got his good contacts and guys that he speaks to and different things. So it'll be interesting to see the idea that he has and what he can bring to the table and things like that. So the next few months in general are gonna be pretty and intense.
It is going to be a bit mad, like, because obviously we've got the season here to finish, but I would think there's probably more than just one eye on the summer and next season behind the scenes at the showgrounds at the club. And that's it. Like, what we know as Korean Football Club, as full following and reporting on them each week. By the time the start of next season comes around, the landscape's probably going to be completely different, Johnny.
Oh, totally different. Will there be any more club appointments? Will Warren be there full time? What players will be full time? Will the club be full time? Will some regional funding be available? Will anybody else join the management staff? What players will be able to come in? Will there be a new chef, nutritionist? We could be here doing you could do a podcast in this alone. So, but yeah, as I said before, it's going to be strange driving by the showgrounds, maybe 2 o'clock one afternoon, and there's players out training, or maybe 10 o'clock in the morning or something like that. So, look, it's exciting. Just hope everyone goes well, and it's definitely going to be intriguing. Though, as I suppose not the outside, I suppose we're involved in the club, but I suppose we're not that involved. So, it'll be interesting to see, just see maybe from maybe the outside of the inner kingdom, shall we say, about what's going to happen.
It's like the great unknown, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it is. It is, and so many questions and so many stuff that probably needs answered. But at the end of the day, these things just take time, and yeah, that's how it is. But it's a great catchment area for Korean, for investment. We've said this, on the podcast, even when the first murmurs were going around, you look at Korea and where it is in the North Coast. It's absolutely massive. There's so many different partnership opportunities there as well. And so it'll be interesting to see what can happen.
There's definitely potential there, so we shall see. We'll be watching with great interest, Johnny,
We
to see
will.
what happens.
No, we definitely will. We
See if
definitely
we
will.
get see, we'll see if we can get a job, won't we?
I very much doubt it, Damien. But sure. All these club appointments are going to be very, very important. And obviously, look, Patrick and Ronald are two smart men. They've invested their own money in the Korean, and they're not going to want to lose it. They're going to want to obviously
Make the most of
make the most of it and help Korean and see maybe a return of
it.
money and maybe better crowds in, and the club being self-sufficient and the academy and stuff like that. So yes, it's probably, they always said the first 90 days looks like. I remember them saying that in the podcast. So they'll probably be ticking things off and getting things done. So no, yeah, look, again, say this all the time, I wish them the best of luck with it, and fingers crossed that they can help Korean, because that's what we all want at the end of the day.
Absolutely. And certainly, if Korean finish the season well and secure a European spot, that certainly sort of helps in terms of next year, doesn't it? Just lifts the whole thing. What about anything else, just before you wrap up, around the club that we should know about, or a couple of the younger boys, I think international calls ups, weren't they?
Yeah, and there's a few, there's more of the young, there's three of them again away. They were playing for, is it Northern Ireland Schoolboys against Scotland on Thursday night? I think it's Mikey and Alfie and Sam or Senan. I need to get this right, otherwise there'll be angry parents at me. I have the list in front of me here. It is Alfie Gaston, Sam and Mikey Hargan, Northern Ireland Schoolboys, to play Scotland on Thursday.
Very good.
And then Kyle McCluskey is a big centre half at the 20s. He's away and playing in the Dallas Cup in America for the Stephen Gerrard Academy.
Nice.
So, yeah, look, it's that'll be some experience for him and good experience for the young lads as well. So, no, yeah, look, the more Patrick Kelly we can develop, the more. So, no, yeah, fingers crossed. And I know the 20s are still going well in the reserve league as well.
Yeah, that's the thing. Those three, four young players that we've talked about, they're all away representing Northern Ireland or Stephen Gerrard Foundation, whatever it is. But you could imagine that the transfer to full-time football is something which would be very, and I think the two investor guys had mentioned this in the podcast previously to us, that those guys would be prime to move into the full-time set up as young full-time professional footballers with a view maybe then breaking through to the first team and then maybe getting sold on to bigger clubs in the future, and that be a kind of a model that Corian could look at.
Yeah, that has to be the play model for Corian and probably every Irish league club, if you're being totally honest. I think Lauren have sold a few guys to England.
Yeah.
Linfield, you know, like Charlie Allen, for example, obviously, and guys like that. So, yeah, look, if you can develop your own and get them through, and I know wee boy Braden Graham scored again for Linfield's first team now. So, he's I think he's going, is it Everton, as I heard he's going to. So, yeah, look, I think it's so important. And, you know, Alfie Gaston and Senan being on the bench every week isn't just to make up the numbers. Let's be perfectly honest. And I don't have to tell you that. They're there to get experience, to train.
Yeah.
The first team, see what it's like, what a nice day experience is like. At the end of the day, he's brought on Senna at half time in big games. I remember it was against Larne and there's a Hamilton and this Scottish Cup thing as well. So, look, them guys will definitely be given their opportunity and it'll be down to them at the end of the day. But speaking to Senna, I know Senna better than Alfie. And anytime I've spoken to him, he's just level headed and obviously his dad and stuff like that. So, he comes from he reminds me about PK and that as well. He's got a good drive about him and things like that. So no, it'd be brilliant to see.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, it's going to be interesting to watch those guys along with others developments over the coming months and years as well. So it's an exciting time all around. I think the way the team's playing and all the full time aspect and everything else, things maybe they're definitely a lot brighter than what they were 4 or 5 months ago. So for that, we have to be thankful. Here, Johnny, we will wrap it up there. We've got through a good bit of football talk. You be at Corian on Saturday? Or are you going to be deployed elsewhere?
No, it should be at the showgrounds on Saturday, all been well. So it'll be weird seeing Corian. It's been a while. So no, listen.
Maybe that's why the fortunes have picked up.
Well, just want to let everyone know that HR has been in contact with Oren Kearney after a video being sent to me after being told to stay away and I'm the scud. So I don't know who produced that video, but he's on my hit list as well.
No idea.
But listen, I'll be back at Showgrounds on Saturday and fingers crossed that, you know, we can get top six sorted and really hit this post-bit fixture with a bang and try and finish. Well, probably not finishing higher than sixth, if I'm being totally honest, but let's finish in a really sixth, but in a good, strong position.
You know what? I don't think it matters. Just finish that top six, get a good run into the playoffs, and take your chances against any of those teams in the playoffs on their day. I fancy Corian to get a result against any of them.
Yeah, 100%.
So, yeah. Right, I hear my dogs barking, so I will wrap it up here. Johnny, good to talk to you as ever. Thank you again to the Lodge Hotel Corian for their kind sponsorship of the podcast. We will be back again next week when we will know exactly if Corian are in the top six or not for the remainder of the season. Until then, take care, see you at the showgrounds on Saturday, and as ever, come on the Van Siders.